Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Now the Bible says in this particular proverb, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Now we've discussed a lot on the fear of the Lord, so we won't concentrate our study today on that subject. The rest of the proverb goes on to say, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. And that's where we're going to concentrate our efforts today. Naturally, we're proud people. I mean, that's just the way we come, naturally speaking. You come into the world and your parents ooh and ah and goo-goo over you, and then when you start talking, you know, they're trying to stuff you back in the pillowcase or something, you know, like, oh my goodness, where'd you come from? But in those ages, we always get the idea that the world revolves around us because we cry and everybody jumps and comes to our attention. And what happens with pride is that pride seeks to bring honor to us. That's what we want to be, is we want to be honored. And so in our pride, we think we're right and everybody else is wrong. But before honor, which is, like I said, the desire of pride, before honor is humility, not pride. So while pride seeks to bring honor to us, it usually instead brings destruction. Like the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and in a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, so what we want to study today is we want to study humility and the honor that follows that humility, and some cases where humility, you know, was employed and what the consequences were. Now, to start this study, we eventually want to end up in the New Testament, but to start this study, let's go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and notice that God intended for the Jews to go into the land of Canaan as his people, his chosen people, and win victory over all the other nations and land in that land as his people. And he was going to honor them with that possession as his firstborn child, okay? Well, in order for them to be honored that way, he had to humble them first. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, we see this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the Lord humbled them. He humbled them out there in the wilderness in order to honor them with victory and possession and the honor of being his chosen people when they came into the land of Canaan. Humility precedes honor, always, always. And pride precedes destruction, always. Now, when the Jews went into the land of Canaan, after having been humbled out there, and the way that the Lord humbled them is he humbled them to eat his words, his manna. Man should not live by bread alone, but by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And he wanted them to obey his words, and in order to do that, they were going to have to be humble, to do what he said. Now, by the time that Joshua got finished with that army of Jews out there in the wilderness and got ready to go into the land of Canaan, they were sufficiently ready for their arrival because everybody knew that the strength of that nation was not in themselves, but the strength of that nation was in the Lord, and the Lord had honored them with his presence. Joshua chapter 2, look what happened. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. The spies went into Jericho to figure out how to take the city, and there they met Rahab. And in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. See, that's honor. Can you imagine God giving you land? The Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did they remain any more courage in man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So God had honored them with his presence and with his victory over Sihon and over Og and over the Egyptians and over the Red Sea. And so there was no more spirit left in the people of Jericho to fight. There was no more courage in any man. And that's because they had been humbled, and in their case, not willingly, they had been humbled by the Lord to eat manna out there in the wilderness and to learn to depend upon him and his words. You know, we'd do well as Christians to recognize that. So often we think that our strength lies in numbers, in buildings, in possessions, in assets, in money. And our strength doesn't lie in that. Our strength lies in the Lord God, and you're not going to have that strength unless you have humility. And the Lord did that for the Jews to prepare them for what they were going to go through in the land of Canaan. Now, let's look at the lives of some kings. Let's look at King Ahab and King Manasseh and King Hezekiah and King Josiah. Okay? And notice in every case, these men humbled themselves, but in so doing, two of the kings, it was a little too late, okay? And with two of the other kings, both of them humbled themselves, and it was in time for them to gain some honor, even though they weren't perfect. All right? Before honor is humility. Now look in 1 Kings chapter 21 at verse 20. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 20. All right, and what we have going on here, this is King Ahab. And King Ahab to this day has the reputation of being the wickedest king that Israel ever had. That's King Ahab. The wickedest king that Israel ever had. All right, and in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20, Ahab said to Elijah, Elijah came and found him. Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." And so Elijah says, "Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin." And there's something wrong with Jezebel, and he goes right down the list. I mean, Elijah's preaching terrible message to the king of Israel. But look what happened in verse 27. "It came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." So Ahab humbled himself, and while he did that, the Lord said, "I'm not going to bring the evil that I'm going to bring in on his kingdom in his days. He won't live to see Assyria come in to take this country captive. Okay, I'll bring that in his son's days." And that was because he humbled him. So the Lord honored him with a little of that. But that was very late in Ahab's reign. And so it was a little too late. And therefore, Ahab does not escape the notoriety of being the wickedest king that Israel ever had. He humbled himself, yes, and the Lord certainly spared him some of the trouble of seeing his kingdom taken captive by the Assyrians, but he did not stay in the condition of his humility, because in the next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat joins Ahab in an attempt to regain Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab is going to fight, and he gets his false prophets around him to basically give him a pep rally and tell him, if you go down in the fight, you'll win. Jehoshaphat recognizes that these guys aren't speaking for the Lord, and so he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside these? And Ahab said, there is, but he never speaks good concerning me. His name is Micaiah. Well, they get Micaiah out, and Micaiah speaks, and he says, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he basically said, I'm not going to follow the advice of Micaiah. And he rejected the words of the Lord. Okay, that's pride. That's pride. And by rejecting the words of the Lord, he went into the battle. And guess what? He got shot by an arrow right between the shoulder blades and died. And the dogs licked up his blood in the field of Jezreel, which is the vineyard of Naboth, which is where Ahab tried to, you know, steal or by hook and by crook get that place. Jezebel finally got it by accusing Naboth of blasphemy and having him stoned outside of the town so Ahab could come into possession of his vineyard. Well, that humility would have spared him, but Ahab in his pride rejected the words of the Lord spoken by Micaiah, went into the battle and died. Terrible deal. Tragic. Before honor is humility, but make sure that it's not too late when you do it. All right, now let's look at Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9. Manasseh it has the reputation of being the wickedest king that Judah ever had. Ahab, the wickedest king of the 10 northern tribes. Manasseh, the wickedest king of the 2 southern tribes. And Manasseh also humbled himself on an occasion. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9, Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So worse than the Canaanites that were there before. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. That's pride. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Well, when Manasseh got in affliction, that's when he humbled himself greatly before the Lord God of his fathers, and he left off all that idolatry and terrible stuff that he had been involved in before. Now, when you read about the life of Manasseh, he got involved in some really, really wicked things. Idolatry and letting his children pass through the fire to Moloch and all kinds of other things, burning, you know, sacrificing peace offerings in the high places and stuff like that. Well, anyway, Manasseh did all those things, and he really, really led Judah astray. So he finally humbled himself late in life, and it was a little bit too little, a little bit too late. It was enough to keep him from seeing the destruction that was going to come upon his kingdom in his day, but it was still not enough to keep him from the dishonorable reputation of being the wickedest king that Judah ever had. Now, there are two other kings that we'll look at briefly. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24, this is going to be Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a good king, and he cleaned up the temple, and he reinstated the Passover, and known as a very good king. But then he was going to die, and he entreated the Lord to let him live, and the Lord gave him 15 more years. And afterwards, the ambassadors from Babylon came to examine everything in Jerusalem, and he showed them all the wealth as if it were his own. And during that time, according to 2 Chronicles 32:31, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. And what was in his heart is pride. He was lifted up. So the Lord says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24, in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of God came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So the humility certainly gave him a reprieve there from the destruction the Babylonians finally brought upon him. But and the humility also preserved some of his honor, because if he had died in the wickedness of his sin and the pride of his heart at the captivity of the Babylonians, then he would have had the reputation of Jehoiachin or Jehoiakim or Zedekiah, some of those latter kings of Israel, of Judah before the Babylonian captivity, and those guys were despised. All right, so that's Hezekiah. He humbled himself and preserved his honor. Josiah humbled himself early in his reign. He took the throne when he was 8 years old. And by the time he was a young king, after he'd reigned a while, he decided to have the temple cleaned up. He reinstated the Passover, and he got rid of all of that stuff that was there for Baal. And in humbling himself like that to the Lord's words, then he was honored as one of the great kings of Israel. So you get the point there. There's the layout that we see established from the Old Testament. The layout in the Old Testament is this. Early on, a king or a nation would have to humble themselves to the words of God early in order to preserve their reputation and to preserve themselves from destruction. Now, if you go back and you look at what happened in some dealings that God had with some other kings that were not kings of Israel and Judah, you'll notice in Exodus 10, verse 3, that Pharaoh refused to humble himself before God, and he was destroyed. And every time you think of that Pharaoh in Egypt, you always think of a man that is not honored in the Bible, a despicable king. The king of Nineveh that is spoken of in the book of Jonah humbled himself when he heard that his city was going to be destroyed by God. And he saved his country and was honored in that God repented of the evil that he thought to do to that place. That's Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. So even with the Gentile kings, humility yields preservation and honor, and the refusal to humble yourself or pride yields destruction. So when we convert all this history into an example for our lives, then the spiritual thing for us to do is to humble ourselves before the words of God and live with honor. And the pattern we have for doing this is Jesus Christ himself. That's our pattern. You know, people say, what would Jesus do? Well, he would humble himself. Not with a false humility, but with the real thing. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we have a pattern. The mind's in us. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right? Before honor is humility. He humbled himself, right? Look at the next verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Well, I'll tell you what, that's everything. Everything's bowing in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How about that? Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. So the more humility, the more exaltation, the more honor. So much so that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we see that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the highest figure in what we do. Now, you wouldn't know that in some churches today, because Jesus has lost his preeminence among the folks, but as far as God is concerned, he's never lost his preeminence. He is the head of the church. Okay? And in the book of Revelation, when you see him return to the earth at his second coming, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, he's going to come back to this earth according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he is going to reign over everything. Everything is going to be underneath his rule. Why? He's highly exalted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. Well, that's high exaltation. I mean, there's nothing higher than Jesus Christ. There's no one higher than Jesus Christ. There's no creature higher than Jesus Christ. But then nobody has ever humbled himself to the humility that Jesus Christ bore. He allowed himself to be cursed, spit upon, slapped, beaten, crucified, buried, but he rose from the dead. And he allowed himself to experience all of those problems so that he could bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He allowed himself to be humbled that God might exalt him. Now, because of that, we are to be humble because the Lord alone is to be honored. In other words, nothing we do should bring glory to ourselves. Nothing we do should exalt ourselves. Everything should be done to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Everything we do. All of it. Now, that's how Jesus Christ gained the honor that he got, by humility. That is the pattern that is established for us. So when we read the Bible, this whole thing being about before honor is humility, we should be able to find evidence within the New Testament that if we will humble ourselves like Jesus Christ humbled himself, then the honor that our own pride seeks to bring us will come, but it will come in time, and it will come from the Lord, not from us. In other words, there are a lot of people, Christians, that like to honor themselves and be known as having reputation among the folks. And you know what? This is not the time for honor. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, this is what the Lord said to the Jews when he was here on the earth. He said, "Wherefore, therefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, you know, Peter and James and John, they humbled themselves as a little child, and you wouldn't know of them as being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven at that time because they were martyred. John was sent to the Isle of Patmos and exiled. But the kingdom of heaven is something that is an earthly, visible, literal kingdom over which Jesus Christ will rule. And when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and rules on the earth for 1,000 years, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, all those disciples that were with him, those 12, they are going to be exalted to rule on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. Why? Because they humble themselves as a child, and they become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Look in Matthew chapter 23. It's a promise. You'll find this in the other Gospels as well. Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 12. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now that's what the Bible says. If you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And if you exalt yourself, you are going to be abased. Sometimes you may be thinking, why am I getting pounded like this all the time? Maybe it's because you're still too proud. And the Lord wants you to keep your head down and be humble so that he can get all the glory and the honor. Because that's, after all, the way we're supposed to do it now. And in time, you will be exalted. The apostles have not been exalted yet. They will be, but they haven't yet. And they served the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully and humbly nearly 2,000 years ago. You see, look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, and notice that timing is everything when it concerns this humility. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now, the trouble is people try to rush that thing, and when you do, that's when you get into trouble. Or they put it off and try to go by pride most of their lives and then humble themselves late, like some of those kings did. The Lord said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You know when your due time is? It's not now. Well, do you think it might be by the end of your earthly ministry? No. No, because, listen, what happens when somebody exalts themselves in this time that we're in right now, what happens is your heart gets lifted up. And when your heart gets lifted up like that, then you're sunk. You saw what happened to Hezekiah. Late in his reign, he lifted his heart up and boom, down he went. Because God left him a little while to try him to see what was in his heart. So what you have to do is you have to recognize that as a Christian, you are never going to get the honor that is due you as God's child, ever. When you do, when you seek to be honored now, you're going to exalt yourself, and when you do, you're going to be abased. So what the Lord says is, I just want you to wait. Again, I'll read it to you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You say, when's the due time? After the judgment seat of Christ, when there's the marriage of the Lamb, during the earthly reign and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're the offscouring of the earth. Now you live the separated life. Now people look at you with disdain. But then when you are here in the earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll say, whoa, man, he must have served the Lord well. That's when your due time is. Not now, later. So always remember this proverb. It's a very good one. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. And you will never have the honor that is due you in this lifetime. If you do, then what's happened is you've allowed something to enter in that will allow you to be honored before your due time. And what follows that thing is an abasement. It's not a good deal. Well, I don't want to belabor the point. I think you got it from listening to what happened in the Old Testament, listening to the text that we're studying today, seeing what the pattern is in the New Testament. Jesus Christ died penniless. Jesus Christ died without any clothes and possessions of his own, died shamefully naked in front of his own mother. That's a terrible thing. He died in absolute, utter, total humility. Absolutely. But 3 days and three nights later, in due time, he rose. To this day, he still doesn't have the honor that is due him. But I'll tell you, there's coming a day when every knee bows, including the knee of the devil and every person that ever rejected him. They will all confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. So his due time is coming, and so is yours, but not unless you maintain a life of humility before the Lord. And that life of humility, as we saw from the Bible, is preserved by living according to God's words, all right?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.